Welcome once again to the Raw Barbell Club podcast. If I could just ask you guys something right before you listen to the podcast, that is, tap your friend on the shoulder, wherever they may be, or send them a message and just tell them to check out the podcast. We have such cool guests on, and if anyone is interested in weightlifting, strength, CrossFit, any of that stuff, they would love to listen to this. So just tap them on the shoulder, be like, hey, dude, or dudette, listen to the podcast. And then also, if you can just go onto iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. Doing that makes it so that our podcast shows up higher in the rankings, and it means that we are able to do this for longer. And lastly, guys, we have a gym. So if you are in Sydney, you should definitely come check us out, because we teach weightlifting and we teach it well. Supersonic. Hey guys, welcome to the Raw Barbell Club podcast. I'm your host, Andy. Today, we have yet another Commonwealth Games lifter, Elise Stevenson.
Hey guys, how's it going?
I got it right that time.
You did.
So, for those that don't know you, Elise, can you just give us a little introduction to who you are and what, you know, sort of weight categories you'll be competing in and all that?
Yeah, sure. So I'm born and bred in Ipswich, which is in Queensland. So live here with my husband. I'm actually a surgical nurse by day. So I work all shift work in the surgical ward. So not in the theatre, like where you see all the blood and guts and whatnot, but on the ward. And I've been doing that for about 7 years. So that's my day job. And I do weightlifting and I compete. I will be competing in the 48 kilo category at the Commonwealth Games, but when I'm not cutting weight, I also compete in the 53 kilo category as well. So,
Cool. What I really want to explore today is how you got to where you are now, because you actually haven't been in the sport of weightlifting for a hugely long time, have you?
No, I haven't.
Let's talk about.
Okay, yeah, well, so I sort of joined CrossFit around probably it'd be going back 4 years ago now, and I had never done weights before then. Prior to that, I was just doing a little bit of aerials with my twin sister, but that was all sort of body weight training. We just sort of made up our own sort of workouts, Emma and I, that's my twin sister, to keep fit. And but I wanted something a little bit more. I wanted to sort of, you know, gain a bit more muscle and to help with my aerials as well, to get stronger. So then I joined CrossFit and I was doing that for a little bit, and then I just sort of found that I really enjoyed the weightlifting aspect of it. And I was getting quite frustrated because I wasn't one of the, you know, better lifters in the gym. I was one of the smaller athletes and I was always watching the other girls and wanted to be stronger. So I eventually bit the bullet and went down to Chandler at Cougars Weightlifting Club to actually get a, you know, official weightlifting coach, and joined with them. That's about just over 2 years ago. I joined with them, and not long after, my coach Angie put me in my first weightlifting comp. And then from there, I've just sort of been competing under Angie and under that club, and here we are now. So it did escalate pretty quickly with my lifting, but I really, really love the sport, and I enjoy the club as well, and last year everyone sort of had on their mind the Commonwealth Games because they knew that was coming up, and she sort of proposed, my coach sort of proposed, oh, why don't I try dropping down to 48, you know, at the beginning of the year last year, and see what, you know, see how I could go, see what my chances are. And so last year was all about, you know, dropping weight and going to all the qualifying events. And here we are now. It actually all, you know, worked out for the best for me. And lucky enough, I'll be actually going to the games. So, but yeah, compared to a lot of the other athletes, it seems like they have a lot more years under their belts. But that's been great for me to be able to learn and talk to them at the training camps and you know, get some of their advice. So yeah, I feel very, very privileged to be there with only, you know, a few years under my belt. So, yeah.
When you found out that you were going to the Commonwealth Games trials, because obviously it was a big deal in itself just to qualify for the trials, right?
Yeah, yep.
What was it like? You know, what was going through your head? Where were you? And like, who was around you?
When I got to the trials, I sort of thought I would be going to the trials based on what I had done throughout the year and reading the criteria. So at the end of the year, like, I had been sort of preparing that I would be going to the trials. I was so excited. Like, I felt like I was, you know, such a big achievement to any athlete that would even get to the trials. In my head, going into the trials, I was sitting second in the 48 kilo category by quite a bit.
And that was to Emily, was it?
No, that was second to Tegan.
Oh,
Tegan,
okay.
had beaten me at Oceania Champs in September.
Okay. Cause she dropped as well, didn't she?
Pardon?
She dropped from 53 to 48 as well.
Yeah. And so in my head, I was like, oh, well, like, I didn't see that I could get, you know, beat her total in the time frame that we had. So, you know, from September when I found out she beat me to December, it was quite a big total that I would have needed. That's why Angie and myself decided that I would just go into the trials as a 53, you know, and just do my best as a 53. So in my head, I thought, like, I didn't think that I would be in the team, to be honest, just with the current standings. And, you know, we thought Tegan would go as the 48, and then everyone thought that Erica would go as the 53 because we knew she was dropping down. My goal for the trials was just to have fun and try and put up my best total, basically. So, yeah, which I did. I had a great time at the trials, and I'm happy with how I went and gave it a good crack. So,
yeah, I remember talking to you at the trials, and you said, you know, you're just sort of here to have fun. But then, you know, let's talk about like the turn of events that, you know, got you to the games, because obviously Erica didn't perform as well as she could have, and then Tegan, I guess, decided to stay up at 53.
Yes,
is that kind of what happened?
Yeah, so I think she figured she had 48 in the bag based on, you know, the other 48's, you know, results, which was fair. She didn't really need to drop again, I suppose. It was really interesting, like, how it went, because then after that day, it was like, oh, well, Tegan's number one in both weight categories now. We had no idea, like, what would happen. And I had no idea either. Like, so we were trying to look at the Commonwealth rankings, because in the criteria it would say they would take Tegan to, you know, with whatever she has the better Commonwealth ranking.
Yeah.
We were trying to look at the latest ones of that. And she was pretty much equal, I think, in both. I really didn't know. So for a couple of weeks there, we were just all hanging in limbo waiting to hear something, which was really painful. We even knew it was myself going, because I was second in 48, or Erica, who's second in 53, and we both train under Angie. So I think Angie was quite, you know, anxiously waiting to know as well. So, that was a painful wait.
And just for the listeners at home, your coach Angie is Angela Wydell, who was actually on our podcast maybe like a few months ago.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Just if you guys want to listen to that, you guys should probably do that too, because she's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So let's go back now. Let's talk about what it's like growing up with a twin, because that's pretty cool. Is your sister into lifting at all?
She is slowly getting into lifting. In the last sort of year, mainly the last 6 months, she would come and train with me down at Cougars every now and then, because she really loves to support me. And she's actually not too bad. I'm actually trying to get her on the platform next month. So if she's listening, I will just register her and she will show up.
Well, you don't have to register her. Pardon? She can just compete as you.
Yeah, there are subtle changes. Probably tell the difference. But
she
always says she'll never ever drop to 48.
I did see her. I think she was like push jerking like 70 kilos or something the other day.
Yeah, she clean and jerked 70 as well the other day. So that's awesome. She's doing really well. Yeah.
Have you guys always been, like athletic?
Yeah, so back when we were kids, we did athletics. That was actually our choice of sport, and Mum and Dad put us in that. And my older sister, Hayley, she was actually a competitive athlete as well, and she did. She was a long jumper and triple jump. Did that. We sort of followed athletics for our younger years, and then we actually did do a little bit of gymnastics, did that for a couple of years when we were really young. And then throughout high school, just did the school sports and whatnot. So we always kept athletic and fit. But then when we went to uni, we were both nurses actually, so we did go to uni together, and we didn't do anything. We were really just into the going out, drinking, all that fun stuff, all that unhealthy stuff. But at the time we were like, oh, we need a hobby. Like, let's do something. We need to get fit again. Like, felt fat and not fit. And so we actually went on a cruise ship with a couple of friends and Emma's partner. And we saw these Colombian circus acts, and these chicks did they were up on the ribbon, the tissue, and did, we're doing handstands and stuff, and we're like, oh, that looks really cool. Like, let's do that when we get home. Let's find out how we can get into that. Anyway, so we did. This is going back to, about 2011 when this happened, and we, just searched, circus schools in Brizzy and came across one, and, we just enrolled. It was kind of you enroll for the term, and it was one night every week we would go, and you sort of learn a little bit of everything, like the trapeze, the tissue, the lira, which is like the steel hoop apparatus, and did some ground work, basic sort of handstands, and that's how the circus sort of stuff started, and we did that together, and we sucked to start. Honest to God, could not even pull ourselves up on the tissue. It was pretty embarrassing. And again, we were kind of like, what? We were on the beginners class. We were on the same time as the advanced girls, and we'd watch them and be like, oh, we want to be like them. Like, how do we get good? And so we just trained really hard. We're like, yeah, let's get like them. It's really good being a twin, because you've always got someone to do something with, and it makes it easier to train. And we just make up workouts ourselves, and so it's you always constantly have a little buddy there. So we just trained really, really hard, and slowly progressed with that. And one day, a lady was actually watching us, and she was a bit of an agent sort of thing, and she would perform professionally and get paid for it. And she really liked the idea and the look of, us being twins. And we're very similar in shape and size. We are identical twins. So for performing wise, she thought that would be great, and thought that she could work with us. So her name is Ali, and she became our circus mom pretty much, and took us under her wing. And we started performing for her and her company, which is Wild Applause. And from there, we sort of slowly started getting gigs around Brizzy, and performed at Movie World on the Gold Coast. We've done SeaWorld. We've even been to Taiwan and performed there. We even went out back to Quilpie. So, from a little hobby that started out as just you know, wanting to get into something actually end up taking us around the place and getting paid for it as well. And we've had some great experiences with that. So, yeah, I feel very lucky. And to be able to do it with my twin sister is even better. So it's really fun work.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I really love it. And I do miss it. I've put it obviously on the you know, back burner, because I've been focusing on my lifting. And I did tell Ali that at the time. She knew that my goal last year was to get to the games. So I haven't done a lot lately. I think my last thing was I just walked on stilts for a couple of hours for a party. I do miss it. But, I didn't want to risk injury or anything like that for when I'm, you know, trying to get to the games. So.
Of course. You wouldn't want to tell people that, you know, you broke your arm doing yeah. something like that just before the games, right?
Yeah, exactly. Wouldn't be a good look.
So who's sort of been your, like, I guess, biggest influences then in your, like, athletic career? Like, who is it, your mom, dad, your sister? Like, who brought out that competitive fire in you?
Yeah, good question. Because mum and dad are not competitive at all. They, I think dad thinks he is, but not really. Like, I've never really seen it. Like, they're always, like, wanting us to give it a go, and as long as we're having, you know, fun in the process. But I've always been competitive, and I probably think even more so than my twin sister. But my sister, older sister, she is so competitive. She's someone, if she does something, she wants to win. And she was like that when she was in athletics. And I guess, I don't know, I think we're very similar in that point. And, it's not just in my sporting. Like, I'm quite competitive. Like, I sort of strive to be the best in, I guess, anything that I do. You know, even at work, like, I want to do a good job. Or at uni when I was studying, I wanted to put in, you know, good results. So I think that's just in my nature to want to do well in anything that I do, I guess. But I don't know, in terms of influence, yeah, I don't know. Because I definitely don't get the competitiveness from mom and dad. But maybe it's just a natural thing being a twin too. Like, you've just got someone that, like, from the very young age, everyone, you know, you get compared being a twin, like, no matter what you do.
Of course.
So maybe it's just subconsciously driven into me to, like, you know, want to beat her or be better at her or, yeah, don't know. But I don't know any different. I've never not been a twin, so, yeah.
With the circus stuff, what's your favorite, your favorite skills?
I haven't really posted up this much or, I haven't posted a lot of training videos of this one, but it's like I don't even know what do you call it? It's like a double loop thing. I think it was the last video that I actually posted up in my Instagram on circus stuff. And my sister and I, we trained a bit of that. I don't even know what you would call it. But it's like up in the air and you do, like, you throw each other, like, you know, you do flips and tricks and stuff like that, but can be quite dangerous, and you're generally the bottom person's in a harness when you're training it. But that was always fun, and I never got to perform it. We got to the point where we were training it a little bit, and we nearly had a routine with it, but we never got to perform that. It's really hard to explain, but on my Instagram, I think it was my last circus post. That's the apparatus.
And sorry, what is your Instagram for the listeners at home if they want to check it out?
I think it's Elise_twins. So, cool. Yeah. I don't know. I like that. But I also, Emma and I have a duo lyra act. It's like in the, that steel hoop that's suspended up in the air. And
it's like a big metal hula hoop, right?
Yeah. Pardon?
It's like a big metal hula hoop in the air.
Yeah. It's actually really painful.
Oh, really? Like on your legs or on everything?
On everything. Like, even sitting on it, it's so, like, uncomfortable because it's just like the steel hoop. And, like, even just hanging by your knees on it, it's quite painful if you haven't done it in a while. You got a condition to it.
You can't just wear your knee sleeves?
Oh, I probably could. I haven't wouldn't be very pretty.
What about the silk? Is that uncomfortable? Like, sorry, the tissue?
Yeah, not so much. Yeah, that's not too uncomfortable.
But is it hard on your grip? Like, do you think that your weightlift, like your grip strength, has been so great because of your background in circus stuff?
Yeah, I definitely think it doesn't hurt. Yeah, because the tissue is all grip, so you do find your forearms blow out quite a bit with the tissue. So, but you got to learn to not that. Like, you know, that's another training in itself, just getting that grip strength. Yeah, you got to learn to like relax your hands and not grip it too tight, because otherwise you just blow out. But yeah, that's a fun apparatus as well. That's really fun, the tissue.
Was there anything that you did in particular to train your grip strength, like outside of just being on the equipment?
No, not really. Yeah, it was just, get on, like you get on the tissue and just, you know, at the end of a session, just do your holds like on the tissue, you know.
Okay.
And that would be generally enough.
And when you did start transitioning over, was that difficult on your sister and your relationship? Because obviously you built up, you know, somewhat of an identity as, you know, dual performers. When you started lifting, you would have had to sort of take a bit of a break from that. Was that hard?
Yeah, it was more on her, I think. So because we did do that together, a lot of that together, I think she got a little bit frustrated with me wanting to go and do lifting, and she didn't do it at that time and was like, oh, why do you want to do lifting? Like, come do this. This is more fun. I understood that, and I sometimes did feel bad, but I just really enjoyed the lifting, and I just saw that I wanted to get better at that, and that was just something that I had on my own. That I was doing, you know, that I wanted to progress in, and I had my own goals with that. So for me, it wasn't too bad. But for her, I think she felt a little bit left behind, and then she then worked with a couple of other acrobats and started working on her own sort of acts, which was really great to see and great to watch. And I loved her, loved watching her do that. So... yeah, I think it was, but now I've kind of, you know, recruited her to come to the lifting side. So,
you brought her over to the dark side.
Doing that.
What was it about the weightlifting that, because obviously it started off as a bit of a frustration, and that's why you found Angela and decided to be coached by her. But at some point there would have been a switch that flicked and went, you know, I love this. This is all I want to do. Like, what was it that drew you into it? Was it just that it was measurable, or was it like something more?
Yeah, good question. I guess it is measurable, so I could see myself getting better. I guess I just like the fact that it's body weight. There's body weight categories, so like it's an even playing field when you are on the platform. Like you're competing against people that are the same weight, you know, as you. In terms of the sport itself, like I find it has to be so, you can't just be strong as well. You have to be technically good as well. And you know, it's almost like the lift has to be perfect for you to get it. I guess that kind of suits me because I am a bit of a perfectionist, which probably like a lot of lifters have that tendency. I don't know, I guess it just sort of suits my personality. Like I want it to be, I just want it to be perfect, I guess. Like, and just, like it's so frustrating. Sports so frustrating, as everybody knows, because it can take a long time to see some sort of benefit too. But you know, I don't mind the hard training, the slog of it. I actually really enjoy that. So for me, it doesn't feel like a chore to go to training or anything like that because I really enjoy it. So, but I don't know. I guess it is measurable. You can see yourself getting better, and I just enjoy it, I guess. I like all the training part of it. So
I'm just going to go off tangent for a second, but I think your best lifts are like 62, 82 or something, or 84.
84, yeah.
Can you clean 84 kilos without hook grip?
I have never tried.
Oh, okay. I was just seeing how, sure, like, yeah, what, like, what your grip strength is like. That's all.
I don't know, to be honest. Couldn't tell you.
Maybe after Comp Games, maybe you can try something. After the
yeah. Games. I'll get back to you.
Do you enjoy, like, other sort of lifting as well? Like, you know, squatting, deadlifting, or are you like a snatch and clean and jerk? Like, you know, some people actually like the strength side a bit more. Like, what's your favorite lift?
It used to be clean and jerk, but I think I've swapped, and I do enjoy the snatch, but I enjoy overhead squats, to be honest. Which I know, like, a lot of people don't even have that in their program. But I enjoy overhead squat. I've never been a fan of deadlifts.
Yeah.
That's just not my favorite movement. And I've never seen myself as a big squatter either. Like, my numbers aren't huge. I think my front squat and my back squat are, like, pretty much the same. But they're not, you know, it's not huge. So I don't say I enjoy squatting, but I know it's one of those things that, yeah, has to be done. So, keep the legs strong. So, but I actually enjoy the overhead squat. So,
at the start of the podcast, you mentioned that you're a nurse. So that means that you work shift work.
Yeah. Yeah.
How has that impacted your training?
So I'm so lucky that my boss, she put me in a role that required me to just do Monday to Friday sort of work for the last 6 months. Which was really good because she knew, oh, every now and then I'll have to do an afternoon shift or a night duty, but she knew that I had the trials, and then after finding out that I got to the game, she put me on just day shifts pretty quickly again, which was fantastic because she knew that, you know, the nights would just destroy recovery. But when that wasn't happening, when, like, you know, at the beginning of last year, it was pretty tough. Like, I think my first weight cut, I was on nights, and I'd never done a weight cut before, and it was horrible. Like, I would never do that again. I would never cut while doing night duty because, like, you know, you drop your weight when you sleep overnight, and so, like, the whole week I hadn't really lost any weight until, like, right at the end when I finally, like, actually slept. I wouldn't recommend that. It was one of those things where I didn't really know anything else, and it was my job, so I couldn't get out of it. And, you know, like, at the time, the lifting was, you know, it's just a hobby. It still is, I guess. Like, you know, nursing is my job, so I just have to do it and work around it. But, sometimes it is pretty hard to get yourself up, you know, when you're trying to sleep during the day and then go and train at night and then go to work when you're exhausted. But, I just tried to find a routine and make it work.
So, wait, you're telling me that you're not making the big bucks being a weightlifter?
No comment. We all pay to do it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway.
Did you find that, I guess, when it was just a hobby, when you were doing the night shift? Because, for example, like, we have some lifters at our gym that do the same sort of stuff. They're on shift work. Like, do you have any strategies to sort of maximizing your recovery and getting the most out of your training?
There's probably an area that I would need to work on with that. Like, especially when, because at the moment, like, for the last 6 months, I haven't had to do, you know, the night work. I try and eat the same no matter what sort of shift I'm doing. Like, I'll eat, like, similar times, you know, like, I might have dinner a bit later or whatever and have, you know, breakfast a little bit earlier if I'm at work. I generally try and eat the same just so that I don't screw up that part of my life, you know, like, not the food part, because a lot of nurses, they'll just go to work and they'll, you know, eat crap. That just makes you feel worse, really, I reckon. So I always try and, you know, eat the same and then drink heaps of water overnight. And I've never been a great sleeper during the day, but, you know, I try and sleep as best as I can. I've bought like the block out blinds, so my room is nice and as dark as possible. And my husband's really good. Like when I'm on nights, he knows to be quiet. So, because he does shift work too, so we know what it's like when you don't get sleep. So.
Cool. What does he do for work?
He's actually a firefighter.
Oh, okay, so, cool. Oh, so you guys could be on weird schedules. You guys could be on completely different schedules then.
Yes, and sometimes we are. So we can nearly go like a week. We just sort of like ships in the night. We'll say hi, bye, and then see each other in a few days. But we're kind of used to it, and it's nice. Like he gets 4 days off every week because he does 2 days, two nights, 4 days off, and
yeah.
Sometimes my 4 days off fall in that. So I think we actually spend a lot of time together because he hasn't been a firefighter all his life. He's only been doing it for the last 3 years. So, yeah, it's a good little career for him, and it works for us. So.
Cool. Let's talk a little bit more about training because I think that's pretty interesting to a lot of people.
Yeah.
What does your training look like? Maybe in comparison to some of the other lifters in your sort of like competition squad, like does Angie have you doing a lot of different stuff? Like, what are your weaknesses and what are your strengths?
So typically, I train weightlifting like at the moment it's 6 times a week. I'll have one day off where I don't do anything, I'm working on, strength. Like, I have a lot of pulls from the floor. I'm working on my strength from the floor this cycle, so which I hate deadlifts. So, but anyway, it's, something that I'm working on. And I think it's probably it probably looks like a typical sort of training program. I guess there's nothing incredibly fancy on it or anything, really strange. Because I am still, I've only been in the sport for 2.5 years, so I'm still learning and sometimes I need to strip it all the way back and go back again and build up again. So my training program probably just looks like a, normal training program. But I also have a gymnastics accessory training program as well, which the club got an ex-gymnast in who gave us these programs, like individualized programs.
Oh, very cool. So,
which is really cool. So a few of us have those programs.
And what sort of like in that? Because obviously that'd probably, you'd be good at that stuff, I'm guessing, because of your background, right?
Yeah, definitely. That was really good, actually, because I didn't have a specific accessory program.
Yeah.
Like, for example, a couple of things that would be on it would be, like, wide grip pull-ups, handstand walks, handstand holds. This one I'm like, because I've done 4 weeks already, now the next 4 weeks I've got some stuff with the parallettes, working on things like that. So it's just a bit of fun, different stuff. It's not a huge amount of volume, but it's stuff that can be done after your session. And I feel good. Like, my pull-ups have gotten significantly better since sticking to the program, and I feel strong, so it can't hurt anyway. And it's a more fun way, I guess, of doing accessory, because sometimes you get sick of doing barbell work. You just want something different. You don't want to do accessory work with a barbell.
Yeah.
So, so that's good. I also, in my training week, I used to do a bit of CrossFit. I've cut that back, right back. I might jump in and do 2 CrossFit workouts a week or so. Nothing that would be too taxing, nothing too long. Something that I know wouldn't blow me out. That helps keep my weight, also down and keep me lean, as well as keeps me fit for lifting. So, I still incorporate a bit of that as well. So, yeah.
Cool. Let's talk about cutting weight, because you've mentioned it a couple of times.
Yeah.
And what do you walk around at normally?
I'm normally around about 51 and a half. That's probably my comfortable body weight where, I'm eating whatever I want and that's what I'll weigh. So.
And so even when you're competing as a 53, you'll be about 51?
Yeah, like probably high 51s. Okay. I've never bulked up or been a full 53 because, like, I sort of joined, yeah, lifting, and then last year was all about, you know, cutting weight. So I've never really explored what it would be like if I was, like, a full 53. And I never even thought about dropping down to 48 until – I didn't even think it was physically possible until last year when I saw a dietitian and got a DEXA scan and then said, oh, yep, it can be done. It's just going to be tough. but I was ready for the challenge. So.
And that decision to cut weight, was that a difficult decision for you, or was it like a no-brainer, like, look, I have a chance at making this, I should probably try it?
Yeah, definitely that. Like, I had nothing to lose in it. Like, or, you know, I could give it a go and, you know, see if I can make weight and see if I can still lift, you know, at 48. So for me, it was a no-brainer to give it a go. Like, yeah, without a doubt. My parents were a bit hesitant, like, oh, you know, you got to lose 3 kilos. But, you know, I had the right people behind me and they knew what they were doing. So I trusted them. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, when I was talking to Angela a while back, and I asked her about your weight cuts and stuff, and she was like, yeah, she's a machine. She just comes in, does her stuff, gets on the Airdyne if she needs. I think she said Airdyne or Roll or something like that, and just goes.
Well, it's not easy. Like, yeah, I'm quite lean already at 51 kilos, you know, 51 and a half kilos. So to lose 3 kilos when I'm already only, you know, 13% body fat is really shit. I like literally like shrivel up and I'm like, yeah, I don't look too healthy by the end of it.
I'm sure you don't feel too healthy either.
But you know what? Like it doesn't, you know, I'm just like, it's just, and I'm so, you know, you're so hungry, like anyone is really when they do a weight cut, that, you know, you're so hungry and you're like, why am I doing this? which is how I felt all last year. But I'm actually looking forward to this one, you know, this cut, because this one, it is going to be worth it. It is only temporary. Food is always going to be there. So it's just like, just suck it up, just do it, make the weight, and then you can eat whatever you want after. So, yeah.
How do you cut weight? Like, is it, you know, just dieting down? Is it water manipulation? Is it saunaing? Is it
like... it's diet, pretty much. Yeah. I only used the sauna once. That was the first time I did it. And but the other times, yeah, we've managed to do it without the sauna. So, yeah, it's just diet and obviously, like, yeah, a bit of, like, stop drinking water, you know, couple hours beforehand as well. So it's never fun. Just ask my husband, he hates it.
does that put a strain on your relationship?
I always just say, I'm like, you know, don't listen to what I say during that week, because I get very hangry. But you know, to be honest, Michael is so supportive. Like, he will eat generally what I eat, you know. Even in that week, he'll just have, like, you know, obviously bigger portions or whatever. But, yeah. You know, I do most of the cooking and he'll have that. So that's really nice. Although one time he ordered a pizza and I had, like, 50 grams of chicken and broccoli.
Oh, no.
that was just evil. That was pure evil.
So did you guys have a fight beforehand or something? He was just getting you back?
No, I think he was just being an asshole.
what are your training philosophies? Like, what do you think it means to, I guess, be a weightlifter?
Oh, good question. I don't even know how to answer that one. I'd have to think about that.
Okay, we can come back to it. How about we go with this one? What type of person makes a good weightlifter?
What type of person makes a good weightlifter? I would say someone that is, I think you have to be dedicated to the sport for sure, and persistent. I suppose you can't just sort of, you know, the training, everyone knows the training is long, and it's a bit of a you know, a drag. Like they can be long sessions, and I suppose if you're not, you know, if you're looking for just a quick session and you want results then and now, that's probably not going to be the sport for you. Probably initially you're going to make some progress, like, quite quickly, but it is one of those sports where you just have to put the time and the effort and be really patient with it and trust the coach that you have, I suppose. Trust the process, I guess. And I've even had to remind myself of that a few times. You know, when you get so frustrated, you feel like you're not going anywhere, but you just have to keep showing up and keep putting in the effort, and eventually, you know, that does pay off, and people see that, and people, you know, I think people respect when you put in the effort into something, and I guess then you know that you've done all you can to put into the sport. You know, you can't expect good results if you're not going to put in the hard work. Yeah, that goes for anything, really. So, yeah.
What's next for you after the Commonwealth Games? Are you going to, you know, take a shot at, I guess, training up and trying to compete in Tokyo? Or, is lifting going to stay in your wheelhouse? Are you going to go back to doing your aerials? Like, what do you want to do?
I've had that question a lot. And I love weightlifting anyway. Like, so, you know, I enjoy the local comps and I enjoy the training. So I can definitely see myself continuing with weightlifting after the games. Don't get me wrong. I think I'll have a bit of a break, like just to have a mental break from it, because it's been quite a big year and a half, to be honest, you know, leading up and getting there. But I just love it. So I'll definitely, you know, keep doing it. In terms of what my goals will be after that, I think I'm not going to set any right now. I'm just going to focus on the games first, and we'll see how I feel after that. But no, weightlifting will definitely be continued in the year for sure. And hopefully you'll see my sister on the platform.
So maybe some coaching.
Yeah, she does like me giving her tips, but I think I would enjoy that pathway too, but you know, I'm not done with being an athlete just yet. So yeah, we'll see. We'll get through the games first, and then we'll see what happens for the rest of the year.
Seeing as though you don't mind cutting weight and your sister hates it, do you think that if your sister got competitive enough, you would cut weight for her
and just weigh in her? No, place? Oh my God, no way, because she said she wouldn't do it for me, so not a chance.
Do you, I guess, have anything else, you know, like weightlifting specific, or like, I don't know, any other stories just on your journey that you think are pretty interesting? So I'll give you an example. So I was talking to Brandon Wakeling, and he was talking about how he, you know, how he has to, how he's doing like his abs every day. And he was saying that, you know, like at one stage it almost got to the full 24-hour mark. So he, you know, decided to do his abs every day in a disabled toilet, you know, in Turkmenistan. So, like, I don't know, just weird things that have happened to you in weightlifting.
That's a good story. Not really. I feel like it's nothing too exciting to report. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry, guys, I'm a little bit boring.
Well, I guess you haven't had that long in the sport. I'm sure when we do a round two after the games, there'll be some interesting stories.
Yeah. I'll have to keep a diary and write down interesting things that happen.
Cool. Do you have any specific asks for our audience then? Like, how? Like, do you think everyone should get into weightlifting, or is it not for everyone? Or how can they get involved in, like, doing aerial stuff as well?
I honestly, you're right. I don't think weightlifting is for everyone. But you don't know until you try. And that's like with the aerials as well. Like, I'm just a big advocate for, you know, young kids getting into sport. I think, you know, I've always been from a sporty background, and it's so good for just your physical fitness and your mental, you know, your mental health and just your social skills. You know, you can meet so many people, and so many opportunities can come from that. So I would just say, you know, find, like, pick something that you've always thought about wanting to do, or you think you might be good at, and just give it a crack, because you never know. You might hate it, but, you know, you might love it, and you might end up, you know, going somewhere that you never, ever even dreamed of going. So that would be my sort of little take-home advice, you know, just put yourself out there and do it, because you honestly never know what can come of things. I certainly didn't think I would be in this position, you know, when I took up weightlifting 2.5 years ago, that's for sure. And I'm, counting my blessings every day that this opportunity has come up, and feel very, very thankful and very proud that I'm here. So I would suggest anyone, if they've ever thought about doing any sport, you know, just, you know, get in there, give it a crack. You got nothing to lose.
I think that's really good advice.
Yeah.
Where can people find you, and I guess the people that support you as well?
Well, I'm most active on Instagram, which you said before what my Instagram account was, and I've also got a Facebook, and I've been trying to post a little bit more about my journey to the games on Instagram, because I know a lot of my work colleagues like to see how I'm going and what I'm up to.
Yeah.
So that's probably the most place that you'll find me. And if not, I'll be training down at Cougars Weightlifting Club at Chandler most of the time, pretty much every second day. You can find me there as well.
So that's Elise_Twins, and it's Elise spelled Alyce.
Yep.
And guys, you can find Raw Barbell Club on all of our social medias at Raw Barbell Club. That's Facebook, Instagram, YouTube's, iTunes, obviously, because, you know, we have a podcast that you're listening to right now. And make sure to, you know, just go tap your friend on the shoulder and tell them to listen to the podcast, because it's pretty awesome. We have all these cool guests, just like Elise. And also go online if you like this episode and give us a 5-star rating on the iTunes. It helps us out a lot. Elise, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I'm just going to wrap this thing up, and then I'll chat with you afterwards, if that's cool.
Yep, no worries.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening. I'll see you next time. Bye. Supersonic.